Today on Time in the Word with Dr. Miguel Gonzalez.
We have been reconciled, and this reconciliation has been made possible because He has made peace between us and God through His blood, blood He shed on the cross. Without the cross, our faith is worthless. Without the cross, our faith is futile. Jesus is worthy of being exalted because He died and gave His life on the cross of Calvary in order to provide you and me with salvation.
Welcome to Time in the Word, featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. If Christ is whom He claimed to be, if He is whom the scriptures say He is, then the number one priority in our lives should be to pursue Him with everything we have. But what does it mean to pursue Christ? What does making Him Lord of all mean? How do we give Him that place of preeminence He deserves in our hearts? Those questions will be answered throughout this entire series. In The Principle of Exaltation, Dr. Gonzalez argues that the first thing we must endeavor to do is to exalt Him continually and consistently. Colossians teaches us that we are to exalt Christ. Paul wrote, "So that in everything He might have the supremacy." Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. There are four major themes concerning how we can exalt Christ. In this message, the first theme will be presented, exalting Christ in our faith.
Today we have a new series we're going to be starting, and it's going to be entitled The Pursuit of Christ. We're going to be looking at, over the next few months, at some very important principles that will aid us in our pursuit of Christ. As a way of introduction, let me just preface by saying, if Christ is whom He claimed to be, if Christ is who the Bible says He was, then for the Christian, the number one priority in our lives ought to be the pursuing of Christ with everything that we have and all that we are. But what does it mean to pursue Christ? What does it mean to make Christ the Lord of our lives? What does it mean when we say that He should be given the preeminence or the supremacy? Throughout this series, we are going to seek to answer these questions. So we're going to be looking at, over the next few months, at several very important principles that are critical as we go through our journey, our sanctification, pursuing Christ. Now, the first thing that we want to endeavor to do, and the first principle that we're going to consider, is the principle of exaltation. We want to exalt Christ continually and consistently. The epistle of Paul to the Colossian church offers us a wealth of information and instruction on the topic of exaltation. Paul demonstrated that Jesus reigns supreme because of who He is and because of what He has done. Just listen to what Paul said was the goal of God's plan, and this is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. The goal of God's plan is that in everything He, meaning Christ, might have the supremacy or the preeminence. Colossians teaches us how to exalt Christ. So over the next few lessons, we are going to be spending most of our time in Paul's epistle to the Colossian church considering four major themes dealing with the principle of exaltation. The first one we're going to look at is exalting Christ in our faith. Now, when we talk about exalting Him in our faith, we're talking about His attributes. We're talking about what it is that makes Him worthy to be supreme, to be Lord of our lives, to have control over everything that we do, say, and think. Now, we're going to break this down in subpoints. We're talking about exalting Christ, and we're talking about exalting Christ in our faith. Why should we exalt Christ? And why should we exalt Him in our faith? First of all, we need to exalt Christ because of His deity. Colossians provides us with a wealth of testimony to this cardinal truth. Now, make sure you're listening to me when I say this. If we at any point claim to be Christians, And if we at any point deny the deity of Christ in any way, we are in essence denying the faith, and we are denying who we are claiming to be as Christians. It is a central doctrine of our faith that Christ is God. So we exalt Christ because of his deity. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians 1:15. He stated that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. What does Paul mean by this? He means that Christ is the exact likeness and representation of God, meaning that in his very essence and in his very substance, he is full deity. If Christ is not God, then the work of Christ means nothing. Only Christ, because of his deity, is able to make atonement for our sins. There's a couple passages that we can look at that support this position and this important doctrine Paul is presenting right here. For example, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, many of you probably have memorized this verse. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In essence, John is affirming what Paul is stating to be a fact in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that Christ is full deity. Another passage we can consider is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Listen to what Paul says here. "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." These passages of Scripture support, and this is certainly not an exhaustive list of passages, but these passages we have looked at certainly teach us clearly that Christ is God. Now, I know we live in a day and age where people not only deny the deity of Christ, but where people have taken the position and deny the very existence of God. We certainly live in a day and age where most people think that Christians believe what they believe because it's a crutch that they hang on to, that the things the Bible teach are not true. We have certainly evolved into becoming a people who is self-sufficient, technologically advanced, scientifically advanced. We certainly live in an environment that seems to scream, we don't need this God Christians proclaim to believe in. But I have said this before, it does not matter how many people decide in their minds and decide to agree that God doesn't exist, that does not cause God to cease to exist. And if the Bible claims that Jesus is God, and we have evidence for that throughout Scripture, then it is true, no matter what we choose to believe aside from what Scripture teaches us. And since God is a spirit and God is invisible, Christ was born, according to John 1:14-18, when Christ took upon himself human flesh, God became visible. That is precisely why Paul could say that in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, Colossians 2:9. Now let us consider this profound truth and its implications in our life as Christians. If the fullness of deity dwells in Jesus, and Jesus dwells in us, it certainly should become natural for us to want to exalt him. And think about the implications that has as to our ability to accomplish great things for God. Christ is God, and Christ lives in us. Christ has taken up residence in us. We have the power of God in us, literally. Now, by way of application, think about this. Rather than allowing things of this world to sidetrack us from our pursuit of Christ, we ought to live with excitement, the excitement that comes by knowing that God lives within us and that he wants to live his life through us. He is worthy of exaltation because he's also the originator of the created order. Listen to what Paul said. "For by him all things were created, things on heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Now, in order to be creator, Christ must be outside of creation, which means he is uncreated. So in other words, what Paul is saying here is that Christ is eternal, and we know that only God is eternal. So we exalt Christ because of his deity, but we also exalt Christ because of his position, and he holds a unique position. Look at what Paul said in the latter part of verse 16, chapter 1, and verse 17. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, all things literally means all things. Look at the first part of verse 16, where he says that which he created were the things on heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created for him. Christ is the creator of all things, seen and unseen. And in essence, what Paul is saying is that Christ is the moving force behind all that is. A passage that we can look at that supports what Paul is saying here is John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1 and verse 3, John says, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So Scripture is clear in telling us that Jesus has a unique position because of the simple fact that he is the creator of all things. Now, there's two very important points that we want to highlight before we move away from exalting him because of his position. First of all, Jesus is the instrumental cause of creation, meaning he is the agent of creation. He is the one who made the process work. Secondly, very important, don't miss this, Jesus is the final cause and the purpose of creation. Since all things were created, according to Paul in verse 16 and 17, all things were created for him. This is very important. You can't miss this. This is what Paul is saying, and this is what we're talking about. Christ holds a unique position because of the fact that he is the creator of all things, and not only that, but all things were created for him, and he's the one who sustains all things. All that was created by God for the purpose of exalting Christ, for the purpose of bringing glory to Christ. For Paul said that not only did he create all things, but all things were created for him. Very important. Don't miss that. The third thing we want to consider is we exalt Christ because of his work. Now, there's three major points we want to look at right here. In the latter part of verse 17, chapter 1, and we just read that previously, he says, and in him all things hold together. Do you know that Jesus is the one who sustains all things? According to Paul, he is literally the one that holds all things together. He is the one who maintains the power and balance necessary for life and for the continuity of life. Christ is sustaining and holding the universe together. Not only did Christ create all that is created, not only was it created for him, to exalt him, to glorify him, but he is the one who also sustains creation. It is no wonder that when Christ speaks, the dead rise. It is no wonder that when Christ speaks, nature itself responds to his words. He is the one who holds the universe together. By way of application, let me ask you this question. And it's a practical question. We all struggle with this. We all deal with this. If Christ is powerful enough, not only to create, but to sustain the universe, and believe me, you and I cannot begin to understand what it takes to make this universe work the way it works so that we can live on this planet. But if he's able to create and if he is able to sustain, do you not think that he is able to hold your life together? Now, we struggle with that. How often do we find ourselves in circumstances where we convince ourselves, for whatever reason, that somehow God cannot deal with that? And we put God in a box, as if he could be put in a box. This is the real question. Considering who he is, considering the position he holds, considering his works, can we as Christians completely put their faith and trust in Jesus? Well, based on the fact that he is God, based on the fact that he holds a unique position in this universe, and based on the fact that he has done what he has done in terms of the works, how can we afford not to trust him completely? The second thing I want to point out about his work is that we ought to also exalt him because he sustains the church as our head. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, listen to what Paul says. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in him he might have the supremacy. Not only does he sustain the universe, not only can he completely sustain you, not only can we completely trust him because of the fact that he's the creator and sustainer of the universe, but we need to exalt him because of the fact that he sustains the church as well, him being the head of the church. He not only gives the church life, and that's you and me, but he sustains us. That's you and me. And the third thing I want to talk about in regards to his work, and most importantly, we exalt Christ because he died on Calvary's cross to redeem us of our sin. Do you understand that because of his death and resurrection, we have been reconciled with God? Look at what he said in chapter 1, verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We have been reconciled, and this reconciliation has been made possible because he has made peace between us and God through his blood he shed on the cross. Without the cross, our faith is worthless. Without the cross, our faith is futile. Jesus is worthy of being exalted because of the fact that he died and gave his life on the cross of Calvary in order to provide you and me with salvation. I want to look at a couple passages before we move on. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The only reason why God's justice was satisfied was because Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross, and he was the only one who could provide salvation because he was sinless. Only because Jesus died on the cross was God's justice satisfied. And the only reason why you are able to go to heaven is because when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. So when God the Father looks upon his children, he sees in them the righteousness of Jesus. That is the only reason why we go to heaven. We don't enter heaven by our own righteousness. We don't enter heaven by anything we did. Another passage I want to look at, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Listen to what Paul says here. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. We exalt Christ because of the fact that he made it possible for us to be reconciled to God through his death. Now, we can't miss the importance of this. I want to ask you something. Have you reached a point in your life where you have realized your sin and you have recognized your need for forgiveness? Have you come to a point in your life where God has given you the ability to understand who his Son really is and what it is that he accomplished on your behalf upon that cross? Jesus loves you more than you can imagine. He loves you so much, and this is a passage we read, God demonstrates his love for you in that while you are still a sinner, Christ died for you. The first thing is we exalt Christ in our faith because of his deity. We exalt Christ in our faith because of his position. And we exalt Christ because of what he has done.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Time in the Word. As God ministers to you through this series of studies, and as you experience God's love and grace in your own life, share these podcasts with others so that they too may be blessed by God's Word and his amazing grace. Time in the Word with Bible teacher Dr. Miguel Gonzalez is a ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, a ministry committed to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the clear exposition of God's Word. For additional resources, or if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast and would like to support the ongoing efforts of this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.rffiministries.org.